Welcome to day 263 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today we are going to begin reading from the book of Zechariah. This book is a fascinating book because it has been called the most messianic book of the Old Testament. It's quoted repeatedly in the Gospels, and it's quoted more than any other book other than Ezekiel in the book of Revelation, because it has passages that directly refer to the coming Messiah, as well as many passages describing the end times. And it's a fascinating book to study for certain. But we know that Zechariah was a young prophet who was alive during the time of the restoration of the temple in Jerusalem after the return of the Babylonian captives. He prophesied at the exact same time as Haggai, who was the old man of the prophets. He was the young man. And together they exhorted the people to complete the work that they had been sent to Jerusalem to do, and that was to rebuild the temple for the Lord. While the book of Haggai looks primarily at the work going on in Jerusalem at that time, Zechariah not only talks about the current temple that needs to be rebuilt, he looks into the future by revelation and sees a future glorious temple, a reference to the church and to the church and kingdom age. So there's so much in this book that has to do with future events, even future to our generation now. So this book is essentially a book of visions, and Zechariah was a prophet who saw very dramatic visions and revelations of the Lord, and you're going to hear some high drama as we read from the book of Zechariah. We'll start beginning at Zechariah chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the eighth month, in the second year of the reign of Darius, came the word of the Lord to Zechariah the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, the Jews of this day, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. It is the utterance of the Lord of hosts. Be not as your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried, thus says the Lord of hosts, return now from your evil ways and your evil doings. But they would not hear or listen to me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake and take hold of your fathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts planned and purposed to do to us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so has he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of the reign of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet. Zechariah said, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in a low valley or bottom, and behind him there were horses, red, bay, or flame-colored, and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel who talked with me said, I will show you what these are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth and patrol it. And the men on the horses answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, patrolling it, and behold, all the earth sits at rest in peaceful security. Then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy and loving kindness for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which you have had indignation these 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. And the Lord answered the angel who talked with me with gracious and comforting words. So the angel who talked with me said to me, "Cry out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very angry with the nations that are at ease. For while I was but a little displeased, they helped forward the affliction and disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with compassion, loving kindness, and mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a measuring line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem with a view to rebuilding its walls. Cry yet again, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall yet again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns, symbols of strength. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? And he answered me, these are the horns or powers which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four smiths or workmen, one for each enemy horn to beat it down. Then said I, what are these horns and smiths coming to do? And he said, these are the horns or powers that scattered Judah so that no man lifted up his head. But these smiths or workmen have come to terrorize them and cause them to be panic-stricken, to cast out the horns or powers of the nations who lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. Chapter 2. And I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its breadth and what is its length. And behold, the angel who talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And he said to the second angel, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited and dwell as villages without walls, because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, hear and flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, and from the four winds of the heavens. For to them have I scattered you, says the Lord. Ho, escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory had sent me his messenger to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple or pupil of his eye. Behold, I will swing my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who served them. Then you shall know, recognize, and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of you. And you shall know, recognize, and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me, his messenger, to you. And the Lord shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and shall again choose Jerusalem. Be still, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused and risen from his holy habitation. Chapter 3. Then the guiding angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord who now and habitually chooses Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this returned captive Joshua a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel of the Lord. And he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And he said to Joshua, "Behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich apparel." And I, Zechariah, said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with rich garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among those who stand here. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your colleagues who usually sit before you, for they are men who are a sign or omen, types of what is to come. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, upon the stone which I have set before Joshua, upon that one stone are seven eyes or facets, the all-embracing providence of God and the sevenfold radiations of the Spirit of God. Behold, I will carve upon it its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity and guilt of this land in a single day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, you shall invite each man his neighbor under his own vine and his own fig tree. Chapter 4. And the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me, like a man who is wakened out of his sleep, and said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold, with its bowl for oil on top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil." So I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him? You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finished gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people, crying, 'Grace, grace to it.'" Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Then you shall know, recognize, and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger to you. Who with reason despises the day of small things? For these seven shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Then I said to him, the angel who talked with me, "What are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left side of it?" And a second time I said to him, "What are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden tubes or spouts by which the golden oil is emptied out?" And he answered me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then said he, "These are the two sons of Oiel, Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the prince of Judah, the two anointed ones, who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments." This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. For today's devotional, I want to focus on some words that we find in the fourth chapter of Zechariah. You'll recall from our previous broadcast that Zechariah was prophesying at the time when the temple of Jerusalem was supposed to be rebuilt, yet the work on the temple had been stopped for approximately 16 years. They had laid the foundation, but then when opposition came and difficulty came and discouragement came, they stopped. And so 16 years nearly had passed when both Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet came on the scene to encourage them to get up and continue the work. The two main leaders at that time in Jerusalem, the very men who had come from Babylon leading the group of exiles who were returning to Jerusalem, were named Zerubbabel, who was essentially appointed as the governor. And he was a Jew, and he was dedicated to the Lord. And then also Joshua, or Jeshua, depending on which translation you read, he was the son of the high priest. He was the high priest himself in his time, and he was the spiritual leader. So these two men, Joshua and Zerubbabel, were the main figures who were leading the nation as they were being called to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. They started out, they got the foundation laid, then the trouble came, they stopped, and a 16-year gap elapses. Then the two prophets come to encourage them. Zechariah, the younger of the two prophets, has a very profound vision here in chapter 4 from the Lord, and it's specifically given to encourage Zerubbabel and Joshua to continue the work. It basically shows that God himself had appointed them and anointed them. We see this vision, which is a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it for the oil, with seven lamps on it, and then there's seven pipes that are going from the bowl where the oil is poured into to the seven lamps, so that they have continuous oil to burn to keep the lampstand burning bright. Then the vision showed that there was two olive trees by it, one on the right side and one on the left, that were basically, the oil was being taken from those olive trees to keep the lampstand lamps burning. So when the prophet Zechariah asks the meaning of that vision, he gets a very profound interpretation from the angel. He says, "You don't know what these are?" And Zechariah answers him, "No, my Lord." And then the angel tells him, "The addition of the bowl that holds the oil to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is a symbol. It's the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." So he's the leader that brought the people back from Babylon to Jerusalem for the purpose of rebuilding that temple. And the word to him, that leader, is this: "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And the oil is the symbol of the Spirit of God or of the Holy Spirit. We see this picture or symbol all throughout Scripture, that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So Zechariah gets this revelation that the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the leader, who's faced all these obstacles and has stopped building, trying to rebuild the temple, he's telling them, look, you're not going to do it by your own power. You're not going to do it by your own might. You're going to do this assigned job from God, this divine destiny of yours, by the Spirit of God only. And then he goes on to say in verse 7 of chapter 4, one of the most beautiful, encouraging words, and this is a word for your life. He says, for who are you, a great mountain of human obstacles before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. Think about that. Are you in a situation right now? You know God called you to do something. You are attempting to do it, but you have been met with a great mountain of human obstacles. That's exactly what happened to Zerubbabel. He intended to rebuild that temple because God told him to, because he was obedient to the Lord, because he loved God. He was zealous for the Lord, just like you. And yet when he attempted to do the very thing he was called to do, he met a great mountain of human obstacles. People who opposed him, people who sent bad letters back to Babylon trying to get the king to cease the work by order, all kinds of things. He had human obstacles that came against him trying to stop the very work God had sent him to do. Have you felt like you've been up against a great mountain of obstacles? The angel says, speaking to that mountain, who are you, O great mountain? Who are you? Who are you before the man of God? Who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles before Zerubbabel? Who are you against a man of God or a woman of God? You're nothing. You shall become a molehill, a mere plain. And then it goes on to say, and he, referring to Zerubbabel, the leader, he shall bring forth the finishing stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people, crying grace, grace to it. And then the most encouraging word of all is, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. He is clearly encouraging him that he started the work more than 16 years ago. He's going to finish it. And history bears that out, that 4 years from the time that they continued or started up again to build the temple, within 4 years, it was finished. Even though there had been this 16-year gap of non-productivity and no forward motion or progress on the building of the temple. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. The Lord was encouraging him through this prophet that not by his own strength, not by his own might, not by his own intelligence, not by his own resources, but by the Spirit of God, the Lord would do the thing divinely, supernaturally through him that he had been sent there to accomplish. And then the final word I want to bring to your attention is really the word of the Lord I want to speak to you about. The very next verse, after the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation, his hands shall also finish it, which was verse 9, chapter 4 of Zechariah. Verse 10, who despises the day of small things? That rhetorical question is a question that's asked of every single believer who has been sent on a mission from God, given a task by God, given an assignment by God. And when you're doing that thing that God sent you to do, and it looks like nothing, it looks so small, it looks so unimportant, it looks like nothing of any great consequence, or it looks like the thing you've been sent to do will never become anything great. It may always stay small, according to what you can see with your eyes. This word, who despises the day of small things? He's essentially asking, who is so immature as to despise the day of small things? Because everything starts out small, but if you're faithful to God, God is very faithful to see the day of small things pass by and the thing for which I sent you to do come to pass and glorify God and be the thing God intended it to be. When the temple that Zerubbabel started to build was just a foundation, it looked like nothing. It also looked very small because in comparison to Solomon's temple, the previous temple, it was small. But when it was finished, it was a glory to God. That's what God wants to do through you. But I'll tell you, you cannot be a person who despises the day of small things. In other words, when things are small, look small, feel small, don't look like they're ever going to be anything, if you give up at that point, you will never see God's purpose fulfilled because you gave up when you were despising the day of small things. But God wanted Zerubbabel to take heart, to finish the work, to not be discouraged by the day of small things when things looked impossible and looked not profitable and looked like they would never prosper and become the vision that God had given him. He had to be steadfast in the day of small things. He had to be full of faith in the day of small things. He had to have vision in the day of small things. These are all things you must have. You can't allow the day of small things to discourage you. You have to say it's small now, but it's going to be great. It looks like nothing good, but God's going to make it something. You have to be a person who can see beyond the natural into the spirit so that you know that you know that you know that God said about you, he's had you start it. He's had you lay the foundation of it. He will also have you finish it. That's the word of the Lord to you. I want to encourage you today. Have you put your hand to something God's had you do, but it doesn't look like it's prospering? It doesn't look like it'll ever prosper? Don't be a person who despises the day of small things. Be diligent, be faithful, be full of faith in God's faithfulness, and you will be like Zerubbabel. You laid the foundation, and then the day comes when God, by his Spirit, finishes it. God bless you and give you a prosperous week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.